Welcome to Journey to Easter, the podcast where three friends come together to share our Lenten journey, struggles and triumphs. The aim is to encourage each other and you to make the most of this sacred season. So whether you're walking your first Lent or your 50th, grab a cup of tea, take a quiet moment and join us as we journey to Easter. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Journey to Easter. My name is Nicola Sweetman and I'm here for this final week of Lent with my friends Emma and Father Phil. Guys, we're nearing the end. How has it been? How are you?
I can't believe it's almost at the end. It seems to have flown by. You know, I don't think I thought that setting out on the journey, but looking back, to think we're now preparing for the Holy Week liturgies in church. I'm thinking, oh yes, we've come a long way, and the light is back in the world, which is great, and the light is going to come into the church in these days ahead. So I'm excited. But Emma, how are you getting on?
Yeah, all good. Similar thoughts. Just been a really beautiful journey this Lent, and definitely feeling the kind of, I guess, the anticipation for Holy Week. You know, I think it's always a bit of a almost emotional roller coaster, like going through kind of Palm Sunday and then through the Triduum and through to Easter. I'm just really excited for what God's got in store this year for this Triduum. What about you, Nicola?
Yeah, I think that this Lent has just shown me some areas that I can continue to work on, you know, like even though the season might be drawing to a close, I've just been reminded by the Lord that that I'm a work in progress, and just because the season is ending, I can still continue to try to improve my life of prayer, the way that I give to others, you know, and the things that I've fasted from. Some of those are habits that hopefully I will keep up, and they'll improve my spiritual life from here on. So yeah, it's gone well on the whole, but like you, it seems to have gone quickly, really. And we're approaching Holy Week, and that's a really exciting opportunity again to encounter the Lord. So, shall we start off with scripture?
So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, and we're listening to chapter 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." So great that we encounter the team of three again. Interesting, after the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are here, the two sons of Zebedee. So they come again with the Lord and journey with him on this insightful, perhaps intimate moment of prayer, but not easy for them to keep up with the Lord. What stands out for you guys in this gospel?
I think for me, there's just something there about the gift of being with Jesus in this time. I think, Jesus could have wanted to spend this last kind of night of prayer alone. We know from other bits of the Gospels that he did frequently go and pray alone. But the fact that he invites his friends to come with him and join him in that prayer and in this experience of the Passion. And I think hearing that, I'm sort of feeling invited into that as well, that Jesus wants each of us to kind of stay with him and wait with him throughout this Holy Week.
Yeah, actually, somebody asked me just last week, like, why do we hear the whole of the Passion on Palm Sunday? Like, why don't we just hear in the Gospel Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, which feels, very, it's very happy. There's the singing of Hosanna, and then we get the whole story leading up to the crucifixion and his death. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure. So I did a little bit of research and basically found out that it's tradition. So that's one reason we do it. But also because then some people would be working on Good Friday and Maundy Thursday, I know that we have bank holiday, but not everybody will get to go to those services. And actually, this is an opportunity for everyone who's at Mass on Sunday to really enter in, like you were saying, really joining Jesus on that journey to the cross. And I thought, wow, that's another great example of how the church provides what we need, and invites us into this journey to the cross.
A priest said to me on Monday that the Palm Sunday is like an overture to the week ahead, which was a nice way of putting it, I thought. So just as I don't know, with like sometimes with movies, sometimes at the theatre, you hear the opening music and it contains all of the little tunes that you're going to hear through the performance ahead. So Palm Sunday seems to contain all of these little tunes and overtures that says, this is what we're going to experience in the week ahead. So it gives us that readiness for what is ahead of us.
And I really think there's some, even in this short bit that we've just heard, there's some really key messages about staying close to Jesus and staying awake and attentive to like what's going on for him. And that bit where it says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm like, wow, that could just be like a motto for my life, And actually, we're in good company, and actually it just shows the real, again, we've spoken about this a few times, like the humanity. These are real people going through real life situations and with real struggles, just like we have, It's not easy, even when you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, physically there with Jesus, it's still not easy. These kind of human needs to sleep take over.
I was thinking about, what have I taken from Lent this year? And one of the things that's come up is just the busyness of life and trying to decide, Lord, is this what you're asking of me, or am I doing too much, or these sorts of questions. And then just to read the take your rest later on, I just thought, oh, okay, Lord. And maybe there's a like a seasonal thing with life, that we do get these moments of grace where prayer is easy to undertake, our spiritual practices are easy to take, but perhaps there's moments too where we have to sort of, buckle in, as it were. Like, is this a tough period? But lean into me, walk with me, and undertake this as a mission that I've called you to.
Yeah, I would really relate to that because I think back. I'm coming up to my 10th wedding anniversary, like in next week. Yep. So, and when I think about my how Lent and Holy Week were for me before I was married, and then definitely before we had children, there was a different kind of availability that I had to enter into things, because it wasn't just, I was just able just to think about myself and how I could fully enter into Lent and Holy Week and Easter. And now that's different, like I used to watch The Passion of Christ like every Good Friday. That's not what we do anymore. It's not really suitable, but we do actually try to watch like Miracle Maker or something, just and we do try to make those days seem different for the kids, so I quite like a quiet house on Good Friday, but anyone who's ever been to my house knows that quietness is not its natural state. But it's just looking for little opportunities, to shift our day-to-day living to make everybody who's in our home know that something important's going on.
It's interesting you talk about how Lent and Holy Week lands in different seasons of our life. Because one of the things that I was just thinking about as we're drawing to the end of Lent was just this kind of sense of actually, I'm kind of still in my period of preparation. Like I'm still in this kind of run-up to my consecration. So on the one hand, it's really exciting that we're getting to Easter and that there's going to be a sort of a change in the liturgy and a sort of change in where the church is at. But also, I still feel like I'm in this almost like preparation, Advent, Lent period, kind of getting ready for my consecration in September. So it's just interesting how these things land differently. But I am very blessed that the quiet house on Good Friday is hopefully going to be a long-term feature in my life rather than a passing season.
I think another thing that's come up for me in Lent is just how easy it is actually to fast. Like sometimes it seems like a big effort to do, like, Friday, we're not eating meat, whatever it might be. But actually the little opportunities just to say no to some treat perhaps, or just to say, I'm gonna have a black tea rather than a, a milky tea, that sort of thing. You can really easily integrate into the day little moments of offering to the Lord, because it's all around us, and very often relationships as well. So to hear this, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, yeah, that's something, I'll bear with, day to day, that sort of thing. But there are opportunities to offer that back to the Lord.
Do you think the fact that you declared it in the first podcast has helped because some people have been holding you accountable to it?
It received more than one comment, I would say. Yeah. What was also really great was a friend of mine misheard what I'd said. So they thought I'd said to try and find five things in the day. And that's made me think, that's doable as well, actually. Can I find five moments in the day of just, here you are, Lord, this is something I'm handing back to you in thanksgiving and praise. So the Lord can work in mysterious ways.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband listens to the podcast and he'll say, "Oh, so I hear you're trying to do this." And there's nobody who can hold you quite as accountable than your spouse, who really just sees you at your best and your worst. So that's been interesting for me, but enjoyable that we've had that, opportunity to chat about it together afterwards.
What do you guys think you'll take beyond Easter, beyond Lent this year?
I mean, I think for me, definitely, I spoke a bit about the whole phone situation, charging it downstairs, and that was a reset for me rather than doing it for the first time. And I do notice the difference in terms of the way that I, not just the way that I feel, because I think it's physically better and mentally, like it improves, the way I'm thinking. But also in the way that it helps my mind focus on the Lord first thing. And so that's something that I definitely want to carry forward. I think for sure that one.
I think for me, Trying to find those moments of prayer has been hard at times, and I feel like I've come through a lot of change in recent times. There's been a lot of transition, that sort of thing. That takes a lot of energy to like reroute, as it were, to uproot, but then to put roots down again. And I feel like Lent has just allowed me to come through a period where I can maybe make a bit more time in the morning again to sort of carve out a bit of time just for the Lord, that's in less danger of being impeded by, the tasks of the day. And I guess that's the beauty of trying to pray in the morning. We might feel there's fewer distractions around. So I wonder if just Easter will give me a launch into that, and I'll just have a slightly changed routine, but a better foundation to the start of the day. How about you, Emma?
I think similar to you guys, there's been something about prayer and the kind of the habit of particular devotions that have been built up. So one of my things for Lent, which I don't think I shared right at the beginning, but I've been praying a decade of the rosary for the bishop each day. And actually, with all of the announcements that have come out the past week, I think that's the devotion that will be continued beyond Easter for sure. But yeah, just kind of like before Lent, I would have been like, oh, this is really difficult. Like it felt like quite a, a big time commitment every day. But actually, it's really short and really, really easy to do. So definitely keeping up that intercessory prayer. I'm hoping will last beyond Easter. And then I do think I've become a little bit more patient over the course of Lent with just obviously I've mentioned about not doing the online shop and having to walk around the supermarket and stand behind people in queues. But even when I'm say driving, like just noticing I can be a bit more like, okay, no, it's fine. I'm not in a rush. There's a person in that car in front of me. So hopefully it could just be that the weather's nicer and I'm less tired. So we'll see if it perseveres.
And
What
I
about
think,
Holy Week, guys? What are we excited for? What do you guys do for Holy Week?
I am excited for just the shift in atmosphere. I don't know if that's quite the right word, just that it's, I feel like it's okay to be celebratory again about everything. Like Lent, I kind of feel like I have to just take things a little bit down a notch. Like, not that the Lord doesn't want us to be joyful in Lent. I don't think that's the case at all. But I think I mentioned last week about decorating my house, and we went up in the loft last week. When I say we, my husband went up in the loft last week and found like all the box full of Easter decorations. So I am very excited to, we'll probably do that sometime like after the Easter Vigil. I don't know. I can't remember when exactly, but we'll get it done for Sunday morning, basically, whether it's late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, kind of decorate the house so there's a kind of tangible difference. And then even things like we've got some friends coming round, because I mentioned that Holy Saturday, that kind of day of great waiting and silence, the world feels the silence, doesn't feel so silent in my house. But actually, I've got some friends who are coming with their children, and we're going to make some Easter cards together. So we get the kids to make some Easter cards, so they've got an opportunity to kind of prepare. They're preparing in that kind of doing a bit of crafting, and hopefully they can make some decorations to take home for Easter. And but then I think even just I love the Triduum and the liturgies, and the fact that it spans over the 3 days, and it just gives you a chance to go deeper, I think. Like each day adds something more to your understanding. And even if you've been going for a long, long time, each year I find there's something different. Like I love watching the veneration of the cross. There's like a tangible emotion, I feel like, during that part of the liturgy. And yeah, it's really beautiful to see, especially like some people who struggle, like who are some of the elderly parishioners or people who struggle into kind of walk and need help, and other people like bringing them forward to venerate the cross. And even, there's it's just beautiful to watch the kind of devotion that exists in people's lives, and you get a little insight into that. And I find that really a privilege to see, you know. What
And
about you
even these
guys?
other practical stuff of have I got enough towels for the washing of the feet? Have I got the Paschal candle sorted? Have I practiced the Exalter? Which readings are we going to have at the Easter Vigil? Where's the cross for veneration for Good Friday? All these little bits, are filling up my brain at the moment. And actually, what it does is it makes me think of all the other clergy around, and think, there's guys across the globe who are thinking, have I got all this stuff together as well? And there's probably someone out there thinking, I've just dropped the Paschal candle, it's snapped in half. Can I get away with sellotaping it, or do I need to get a new one? Whatever it might be, it makes me want to pray for them and to keep them in mind as a kind of, presbyterate, all together. And that's really brought home by the Chrism Mass that we celebrate in Holy Week. So we celebrate it in Middlesbrough on the Tuesday. Some people do it Wednesday. I think in Rome they do it on the Thursday. But that's a renewal of our priestly promises with the bishop. Altogether, we're going to do it at the cathedral in Middlesbrough, there's a great sense of celebration then within Holy Week. So it's sometimes it's penitential, but sometimes it's great celebration, and that's lovely that we can be together in that way. Not penitential in the way that it's a burden to do. Holy Week can be that. I mean, there are celebrations of which Chrism Mass is one of them.
Yeah, it is, and that's another opportunity, isn't it, to really see the bigger picture of the church. You know, when you go to the Chrism Mass and all the priests are gathered around the bishop. I've been to the Chrism Mass in Rome once, and there's like hundreds of priests like processing in, and you kind of think, wow, our church is big. You know, it goes beyond my parish, my diocese. It really is. A global, universal Catholic Church, and it's a wonderful thing to witness. It really is.
Right. I do love the Chrism Mass, and I think part of it is that seeing the church come together, and particularly the diocesan church. Like, I know the priests are there, but so are a lot of other people. Like, and it's just that fun kind of see everyone from across the diocese. See all of the priests together, all of the deacons surrounding the bishop. I also love that the bishop consecrates the oils for all of the sacraments going forward. I think that's such a beautiful sign of kind of what then goes forward in the kind of sacramental life of the church and the diocese. Last year I had the joy of presenting the oil of the sick, and it was just such a gift because then you're like, I see sometimes the priest come to anoint someone in the hospital that I work in, and this kind of sense of, oh, like I was there when that oil was consecrated. It's just a real beautiful way, I think, of all of us kind of offering all of the things that we bring in our ministries and our vocations all together in the kind of diocesan church. So definitely a highlight of Holy Week for me.
Nice. So there's a lot to fit in, that's another thought for me. I know that people like to go to confession in Holy Week. So as a priest, I'm thinking, where can I find those extra opportunities to put on to allow people that opportunity? Because it does seem to be one of those weeks where people respond to that sacrament, perhaps more than any other week in the church's year, actually.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I know that I went to confession last week, part of my Lenten kind of practice, but also I really, I'm not gonna say enjoy confession, it's not that quite the right word, but I found it such a powerful sacrament in my life. And I think I just want to encourage our listeners, I suppose, if you haven't been for maybe a long time, or you're feeling nervous about kind of approaching this sacrament. I've I've never been to, I've been to confession to a lot of priests, you know, and I've never met one who has given me a telling off or made me feel like, why have you come, you sinner? You know, I've been really experienced the merciful embrace of the Lord in that sacrament. And I would just say, like, practically, if you're nervous about saying something, like you've got something that's burdening you, just get it off your chest first. Just like, and just ask and just pray before you go in. Like, Lord, I need you to help me say these things. I'm nervous about this, you know? And if you, and also, like, if you don't know what to do, just tell the priest, like, you know, I haven't got a clue, Father. It's been a long time. I can't remember the prayers. I mean, I don't want to speak for you here, Father Phil, but priests, you know, will guide you through it. That's my experience, especially kind of encouraging young people maybe to go to confession for first, second time, just to kind of just to go with whatever, with who you are. You don't need to kind of, I don't know, have it all sorted out to go to confession. Confession's a place to get it sorted out. So yeah, I'd really encourage you if you haven't already to go. It's such a beautiful grace from the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's
Right.
why it's, helpful to begin, or one of the reasons it's helpful to begin confession by saying, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's this long since my last confession, or even I can't remember the last time I went to confession. You might hear that, and that then just prompts me as a priest to guide the person through that moment. And usually in, in the confessional, wherever you are, many of the prayers are there for you. So again, I'm very used to saying, I think the act of contrition is just on the wall next to you. So, if you'd like to say the act of contrition,
Right, it's so important that we talk about confession, I think, because one of the realizations I was sharing with one of my priest friends was, I don't get to see anyone else do confession. Like, whereas I guess priests like get to hear lots of confessions and see how different people do it. Like, whereas, at mass you can like work out what everyone else is doing. You know, when you go to a baptism, you can talk to people about what's, what did they do for the sacrament, and same with all of the other sacraments. But confession's just so private that you some you it can sometimes feel a bit awkward and a bit like, oh, am I doing it right? Because there's no one there but you, the priest and the Lord. Like, it's a totally different experience. But I just think it's such a gift. I do actually think, I'm similar to you, Nicola, that went through that process of actually being intentional about going more frequently. And I think the more you go, the kind of the more not more comfortable it gets, but almost like the easier it gets. And I think I actually feel I can really be myself before the Lord in confession now and really just share those bits of my heart that I don't want anyone else to see, but are so kind of precious to Jesus.
Yeah, and I found over the years that actually confession has helped me like unlock like parts of my heart that maybe I've been holding back from the Lord a little bit, because it's just helped me to, by confessing my sins, I've been able to understand myself a little bit more. And I would say some of the most significant steps forward in my spiritual life have happened, not necessarily in confession, but because of confession, because of maybe something I was able to say, or something that the priest has then responded to me, and the other ways responded to me, has just then given me a kind of confidence to seek out the Lord in a different way, or just to open up a part of my life for the Lord's healing that maybe was closed before. And I think it's a really powerful, it's a sacrament of healing, and we all need that healing in our lives.
Yeah, and I think it's a sacrament of joy as well. Lots of people, my friends ask me, why do you need to go to confession? Why can't you just tell God your sins yourself? But actually, for me, it's the joy of actually hearing the words, your sins are forgiven. In the same way, we need the Eucharist as that physicality. Like, I need someone to say that to me. I need to hear that spoken out loud. I just think it's so beautiful, hearing those words.
Yeah, I think sometimes that we say that, knowing comes before loving. So if you know something, then you can love it, as it were. And if we grow in self-knowledge in the confessional, Actually, it becomes a growth of the right sort of love for ourselves as well, a kind of self-acceptance perhaps, an encouragement to self, you know, like because we're very good at getting down on ourselves, aren't we? And perhaps we're the first to condemn ourselves as no good or whatever it might be. And actually, in the confessional part, I think we've become compassionate towards ourselves because the Lord's compassion to us in that place, because we know we're going to receive his forgiveness, then allows us perhaps the freedom to be compassionate to ourselves.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we can start to believe lies about ourselves and think like, I'm just this kind of person. Like if you struggle with, I don't know, being impatient, and you just think I'm an impatient person. That's just who I am. I can't, you know, it's just part of my temperament. I can't. But actually, through the sacrament of confession, we can hear that those things can be transformed, and that actually, the sacrament of confession helps us hear the voice of the Lord, like calling us to be who he's created us to be. And that I love the quote from St. John Paul II about you are not the sum of your weaknesses and failures, you are the sum of the Father's love for you. And I think that's a really like beautiful message, and also one that we receive in confession, that we are not our sins, they don't define us. You know, actually we are people chosen, created, loved by God. Like that is our root identity, and that's what confession kind of restores in us, our human dignity, and reminds us that we are we deserve the compassion and mercy of God. That's part of the it's such a key part of the gospel message. You know, we're loved by God. Sin separates us from that love, but there is a way for us to come back into loving relationship. And the sacrament of confession is a really important part of that. And that's why the church has given us that as a gift. That's why Jesus has, you know, instituted that sacrament, because he knows we need it. We need to hear those words. We need that human experience of meeting the living Christ. You know, in persona Christi, in the person of the priest, we are meeting Jesus, who wants to speak his words of mercy to us. And yeah, it's not always easy, but it is always beautiful.
So I'm wondering when I'm going to be able to fit those in as well for Brilliant,
Love
Gareth.
some of the freedom with Holy Week? I feel like probably of the three of us, I've got the most kind of time to play with in Holy Week. One of the things that me and my friends try and do is go and do the Stations of the Cross up at the Lady Chapel in Osmotherley. I think there's such the Stations of the Cross are such a beautiful devotion anyway, but there's just something about being able to do them outside and do them where you actually get to walk along and kind of do that journey. And for those of you who've been to the Lady Chapel, you'll know that it's up a hill, which I just think it just really adds something, adds a kind of depth during it. You know, doing that physical walk, and doing it, yeah, with your friends, with those people that you can kind of share the reflections with and share that moment of prayer with. It's a real gift.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the spoiler alert, you know, we know the death is not the end. And like, you know, we're journeying with we hear in the Gospels, you know, the story of Jesus, the lead up to Jesus's crucifixion. And his disciples didn't know. I mean, he told them, and he like but they hadn't fully understood it, you know. And we have the privilege, I suppose, of celebrating those events, knowing the joy that is to come, and the kind of anticipation then that builds up in Holy Week, knowing that like it's not the end, death is not the end, you know. It's so exciting to think about what happens next.
I once read a reflection that it kind of compared it to, you know, the movie Titanic, that because you know the end of the story, it changes the meaning of the rest of the events that you see kind of leading up to it. And I think Holy Week's kind of the same, but in a positive way, right? That instead of being tragic, it becomes, victorious. It becomes this really glorious kind of set of events that are so beautiful. But yeah, I think it's so important to kind of, even when you're in that kind of, the depths of waiting on Holy Thursday after Mass, or, venerating the cross on Good Friday, that we know what the end of the story is.
And I think, I don't know if I've spoken about this before, but I feel it's something that is, I think about a lot, is this idea that the Christian life, we get comfortable living in the paradox and like comfortable, we live in the tension between the fact that, Jesus has died for us, we are living in the power of the resurrection, we've received the Holy Spirit, and yet we still sin. We're not the finished article. We're not completely in union with God yet. And or the fact that sorrow and joy can coexist. So we've got the symbol of the cross, which is an instrument of torture, but for us is such a sign of hope, and part of our Christian life is living in that. That's why, thinking about things like death and grief, they're really hard, and they cause, suffering, but at the same time we hold on to the hope of the resurrection and the new life and the eternal life that Christ offers us. And we kind of, it's part of the kind of mystery, if you like. We enter into the mystery of the story of salvation that we are invited to participate in through our Christian life. And but getting comfortable in being in the kind of uneasiness of the middle, of being in the middle of it, not quite knowing the ending, but not quite being there. And I think that's just such a, for me, it's something that I meditate on fairly frequently, just this idea, and also something that brings me a lot of hope, especially when things are hard and when things are tough, to kind of recognize that I don't know it all yet. I can't understand everything yet, but the Lord does. And trusting in that is the way that the joy of the Christian life,
Amen.
So we're kind of at the end, aren't we, of our Lenten discussions. And we've got all the Easter joy to come, which is wonderful. And just if you've enjoyed kind of reflecting using this podcast, just to let you know that on the Adult Formation social media accounts and the website, we will be posting some things to help you celebrate the Eastertide. So there's going to be weekly gospel reflections and prayer prompts, little mini kind of catechesis snippets, and ways of living out our mission. And it's a series called Tomb to Mission. So I've worked with my colleague over in Leeds, and we've kind of trying to take us all on this journey from the empty tomb, the disciples finding the empty tomb on Easter morning, to being empowered to live out their mission at Pentecost. And just that's the journey that we get to take along with them this Eastertide. So if you're looking for little ways to kind of help you this Eastertide, I hope they will be of use to you. Just as a way to kind of to celebrate that and live that well and keep the journey going, because we have these wonderful seasons to delve deeper into our faith, but that is the invitation that the Lord has for us every single day. You don't have to wait till next Lent to do some penance or do some more praying, or maybe give up your penance for Eastertide, guys. It's all about the feasting and the celebration. But the Lord is always inviting us into deeper and deeper encounter with him, whatever the season. So let's make the most of it.
Brilliant.
Shall we finish with a prayer?
Let's.
Let's. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift of this season of Lent. We thank you for the conversations that we have had through these past 6 weeks. We thank you for everyone that's listened, everyone that sent us messages, everyone that's engaged with this podcast. We ask you just to pour out your blessing upon each of them as we enter this holy week. We pray for our whole diocese that this will be a holy week which is full of grace and of encounter with you. We pray especially for all of our clergy, our bishop, our priests, and all of our deacons as we go into this very intense, this very spiritual week for all of us. We look forward with such hope to this great feast of Easter, and we ask that you will continue to bless your church throughout this whole time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. We hope today's conversation has inspired you to take another step in your own Lenten journey. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts or reflections with us on social media or contact us via email, adultformation@rcdmid.org.uk. And let's keep each other in prayer as we journey to Easter.